so my name is Tim Owen Jones, and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London. It's the 13th of October 2009, and the time's approximately 9:35 p.m. Can you please tell me your name, your age, and where you come from?
My name is Louise Edwards. I'm 46 years old, just for a couple more weeks, and I come from Conwy in North Wales.
Okay, thank you. When was it you first found out about the One Another Project?
Probably fairly early on, I think. I registered fairly early on because I had a couple of emails to say that I hadn't got on, so it must have been within the first month or so.
And what was it that inspired you to put your name forward?
Well, when we were in London, and it was probably the last time we were in London in about 2000-2001, there was a sculpture on the square, a tree on the plinth, on the actual plinth. And I've since found out it was a Bill Woodrow sculpture called Regardless of History, and it was this fantastic bronze tree up on the plinth with the roots coming all the way down the side of the stone, and it really, really stuck in my mind. And I didn't know who it was or, you know, what it was for then. But that plinth has always been a special place to me since then, because this tree just really haunted me. And I love Anthony Gormley's work. I love the Angel of the North, and I love the Crosby Beach figures, and I love the idea of just that sort of art rather than pictures on the wall. So I thought I'd put my name down, and here I am.
How did you feel when you received the email to say that you'd been allocated a slot?
I laughed. Well, you have to laugh, don't you? I mean, I got two emails, first of all, saying you haven't got on, and that was fine, because I'm not an exhibitionist or anything like that, so I thought, fine, you know, it doesn't matter whether you get it or not. And then when it actually said that I'd got it, it was just total shock. I just went into work and I was saying to everybody, I'm going on the plinth. So there we are, and I'm here.
What have you decided to do for the duration of the hour?
Well, I thought an hour is an awful long time to do anything or not to do anything. So I'm involved or have been involved with a couple of charitable organisations, and I work, I'm self-employed, but I work, contract myself to a food festival event in my hometown of Conwy. So my idea was to do 15 minutes of fame for these organisations and these three organisations, and then just have the last 15 minutes of enjoying the time up there. But in fact, I think I'm probably going to be so speechless it might be 5 minutes of these organisations and 45 minutes of just enjoying the time up there. So I'm going to speak, and I've got t-shirts with the logos of the organisations on, which I'm going to, you know, take off one by one. So I've got the logo whilst I'm talking about the people I'm talking about. And my daughter's come along with me. She's got a couple of leaflets that she might try and hand out and just tell people. I've got two of them are charities. One is Plan International, who I've sponsored children in Africa with for nearly 20 years. And the guy from the charity has very kindly met me at Euston Station today with a t-shirt with a logo and a few bits and pieces. And the other charity is, well, not charity organisation, is Fair Trade, dealing with fair trade producers and the Fair Trade mark and what it actually means, and trying to tell people what it actually means and explain it a little bit. And then the third thing will be this Glaith Conwy Feast, which is it's a food festival, but it's more of an event really, which takes over the whole of the town of Conwy, which is a medieval walled town, a fabulous, fabulous place. And it's a fabulous event which is happening the weekend after next. So to take 2 days out to come here is a bit of a minefield, but it's worth it. It's worth it just to come up here or down here.
Okay, thank you. I wonder if you could tell us then a bit more about those causes. So can you tell us maybe like how you got involved with working sponsoring a child, and then
yeah,
talk a little bit about fair trade and your involvement with that and how that makes you feel.
Okay, well, I got involved with Plan, the organisation who work in a lot of developing countries, and they're sort of an aid agency, but not just an aid agency. They don't just react to disasters or anything like that. They work continuously with developing countries, and their idea that their projects and things are totally focused on children and improving the lives of children, and through improving the lives of children, improving the lives of the communities, of the families and the communities that the children live in. So in fact, we started to sponsor a child through the organisation because before myself and my husband had children, we'd been married for a few years and we thought, well, you know, start off the easy way and sponsor a child that's thousands of miles away. And now we've got one of our own. And we've just carried it on through the years. We've seen one with Plan. You sort of, as long as everything goes very well, then you stick with one child through until they're 16 or 18, and then they go off on, you know, their own path and you start with another one. So it sounds awful, but we're on our second child now, a 12-year-old boy in Kenya. And so you pay a small monthly amount, really. And you can actually, rather than just, I think with some organisations, you just sponsor a child and you don't really hear a lot about them. But with Plan, you can write letters to them and they can write letters to you, and you get photographs of them and reports about them and their community and their families and things every year, which is really, really good. With the Fair Trade, I got involved partly through my self-employment, I have to say, although I am keen on the causes of Fair Trade. So it's to do with the Fair Trade mark being on produce and giving third world producers a better deal. It guarantees them a better deal on prices for their produce. And then to get that Fair Trade mark, the farmers in these developing countries have to fulfil certain conditions of, you know, good farming practices and things like that. There's a fair trade premium paid on top of the minimum price for the produce, and that premium has to be used to improve the lives of the communities or the workers in that developing country. So it's helping, it's not just helping the farmer, it's helping the whole community and the workers as well. So I got involved with that as a self-employed contractor, and having been involved with other things, I actually took on a project for them of trying to make a few of our local towns into fair trade towns, or try and develop them into fair trade towns, which involves the towns fulfilling several conditions, like, you know, the council has to support it, and there has to be events, and there has to be fair trade produce sold in various catering establishments and shops and things through the town. So I worked on that for a while, and in fact my hometown has just in the last couple of weeks been awarded fair trade town status, so that's quite nice. And then that will be, it really all ties in very well, because the fair trade town status for the town of Conwy will now be announced officially at the Conwy Feast, Blair Conwy Feast, which is the organisation I now work for and which I'll also be talking about up on the plinth there. So that's started off as a food festival in a couple of marquees in the town, and it's in its sixth year now. It's a community interest company, so it's a not-for-profit organisation, and it just is a fantastic thing. It takes over the whole town. We have marquees and enclosed venues, and it's a beautiful town anyway. We've got the riverside, so there's lots and lots of marquees on the river, lots of music, lots of food, chefs' demonstrations, beer tent, farm animals in a marquee on the riverside. It's absolutely brilliant, so I should be talking about that too.
And what's it like for you to kind of, you know, have these commitments and for you to be able to contribute to these, you know, various causes, various organisations and the like?
It's really nice because I suppose, I get a lot for working for the feast, because it's obviously that the moment in these last few weeks of preparation, it's a huge stress. But seeing it all work and come together at the weekend is fantastic, and afterwards it's fantastic to get the buzz of everybody telling you how fabulous it was and they can't wait for next year and all that sort of thing. So I'm not getting paid for this or not getting any expenses for this. It's actually quite nice to just put something into it and increase the awareness in London and for visitors of, you know, people maybe somebody will decide to come up to Conwy and come to the event for the weekend because they've heard me speak. That's a possibility. And then with Plan, it's great to put something back in, and the people in the Plan office are all so excited about me choosing Plan, because as far as they know, nobody else has done anything about Plan on the plinth. And it sounds good, that, doesn't it? Plan on the plinth. So they're really excited, and that's really nice to have something different, because it's so different, isn't it? To be up there and talk about anything is so different. So I think it's special to all organisations, really, and lovely for Fair Trade. I wasn't actually born in Wales, but I come from Wales, and Wales is the first Fair Trade nation in the world. It was given that status earlier this year, so it's great.
And how's life in Conway for you?
It's wonderful. I've only lived there for 13 years. My mum and dad moved there about 30 years ago, and I didn't move. I was in with the Wirral in Merseyside, so I stayed behind. And my daughter was about to start school, and we decided it was time to move. And so we moved. And of course, when my mum and dad moved, and I was 17, it was like going to the end of the world. There was nothing, no clubs, no taxis, no shops, no nothing. So there was nowhere I wanted to go. But in fact, now it's just fabulous because I'm old now. It's like being on holiday every day, even though I've been there for 13 years. Sometimes I walk to work, but I go past the river and the sea and the castle every time I go to work, and the beach is 2 minutes away, and I can see the mountain from my house, and I can walk to the mountain within 2 minutes. It's absolutely beautiful. So, and my husband's Welsh, so he appreciates being back in Wales. It's really nice.
Cool. So what would you say are the most important things to you at the moment in your life?
Oh God, my daughter, who's out there with me, she's going to be supporting me. And I think she's really brave, and I thought it was wonderful. She's 17, and I thought when I said that I was going to do this, I thought she said, oh, you know, I just imagined her saying, oh, Mum, what are you going to do that for? It'd be so embarrassing. But instead of doing that, she said, oh, can I come? And I just thought that was so wonderful, and she's just been fantastic about coming up. She's not finding any of it embarrassing or anything, which parents are always embarrassing, so it's quite special to be not embarrassing for a day or so. And she's 17, you know, she's going through sixth form, A-levels, looking at universities, moving on. She's just passed the driving test and she's out driving a car. It's going through that whole, you know, end of your teenage years sort of thing. And so that she's just really special to me at the moment. And my husband, who's a wonderful husband, we've had a really nice time recently. He's been working solidly all the time I've known him, obviously since school and university, and has just taken 6 months off because he decided that the stress of work just wasn't worth the, you know, the risks to his health and things. So he's just taken 6 months off, and it's been fantastic to have him at home doing the garden, not doing enough cooking and cleaning and things, but doing the garden. So that's been really nice. I would say they're the most important things to me at the moment, actually.
What hopes and fears do you have for the future?
Hopes, again, I'd put not all my hopes in my daughter, but I just hope that she has a wonderful life. I've had a good life. I had a good upbringing and I've had fun, and I hope that she does too. And I hope that the world doesn't get worse, because I think things are slowly slipping, standards are slipping and morals are slipping and all that sort of thing, and I think that's quite frightening. And so I hope, you know, things like this, there's been so many people up on the plinth talking about good causes, it just makes you realise that there's so many people. I mean, it's a tiny minority of people who've been up there, but it just makes you realise there's a lot of good people in the world, really. And they need an opportunity like this to get up and say something about it, which is really good.
How does it feel that you're one of 2,400 people that get to experience that, to be a part of the project, part of the piece?
It feels fantastic because I'm talking about my daughter an awful lot here. One of the reasons I find it so exciting is that she will be coming back to London, you know, throughout her life, and she'll be coming for 20, 40 years, and she'll be bringing her children, my grandchildren. And for her to be able to say, your grandmother was up there doing something once, you know, is a really special, it really is such a once in a lifetime opportunity. It's great.
So who would you say you're going on the plinth for?
I'm probably going a lot for me, just to have an experience. But I'm also glad to be able to support these other three organisations while I'm up there. And in fact, I had one of those little mini bottles of champagne with me, and I was going to bring it, and I thought, I had the bottle and my little plastic bottle ready to put it in today. And I thought, that's not, you know, it's a bit self-congratulatory, really, to bring a bottle of champagne and stand there, you know, up there drinking champagne. So I decided not to bring it, and it's a bit humbling, really, as well, to be up there. It's great to be up there with such an international crowd as well, because I'm sure there's people from all over the world up there, and they'll be going to tell people about this fantastic thing happening in London and in Britain, so it's great for London and Britain as well, I think.
So how are you feeling then about an hour before you go up on the plinth?
I'm feeling surprisingly calm, I think. I think my mouth's going to start going dry soon. I'm actually quite reasonably used to standing in front of people and talking. I used to work in a register office and conduct marriage ceremonies, so I sort of stood up in front of hundreds of people and been in charge of the situation, which can be quite scary, but it gives you the confidence. It's just, self-confidence to do something like that is just a matter of thinking, well, it's something that you, it's like going to the dentist, isn't it? It's something you've got to do, you've got to just get on and do it. And there's no point feeling nervous or getting stupid about it, so I shall hopefully just get on and do it. You never know, see how it is in 55 minutes.
And how was it being a registrar? How was it kind of being such a key, significant part of so many people's lives?
That was a wonderful, wonderful job, really, really nice job. I did it for about 10 years. And covered a wide area, very coastal area, and then down into a very rural area. So yeah, a key part in one of the most important occasions in people's lives. Because it was making sure that all the legal side was sorted and everything was in place, and then putting the ceremony together with the couple to make sure it was exactly what they wanted, and then standing up and doing it with them as well. And making sure that they got through it without being too nervous, trying to put them at ease and things. So it was a very, very nice job. And the other part of the job in register offices, the local registrar has, or local superintendent registrar, has all the births, marriages and deaths registers going back to when official registration first started in 1837. So you would also deal with people, say somebody wanted their birth certificate for a passport or whatever, then they would come to you to get it. But also people researching family tree would come to you, and so you end up going through all these fabulous old registers that have got so many stories to tell, so many interesting bits of information. And then these family historians all trying to come in and discover their past, or just people with interesting little stories to tell and things. It was a fascinating job, very good, I enjoyed it.
So what kind of response or reaction would you like then going back to the project for people that kind of see what you're doing and kind of read up on the stories, hear what you're talking about?
I'd like... Oops, hang on. Sorry. I don't know how to say that. I would like... if even one person went away and thought, I might sponsor a child, or I might buy a fair trade jar of coffee tomorrow, or I might go up to Conway for the weekend and have a look at this festival, then that would be fantastic. Even one, one person makes all the difference, and if you can do that to somebody, then that's great. And otherwise, I don't really mind. If everybody just laughs their socks off at me, then that's fine too, because I'll be laughing my socks off, so it'll be good.
Great. So is there anything else you'd like to say about you, about what you're doing, or about the project as a whole?
No, I don't think so. I have enjoyed watching. I've had a look, obviously, a few times at it online and what people are doing and what people's ideas are, what they've written about themselves. And it's really, it's a great cross-section of community, because there's people who are very experienced at entertaining and have written about it, and people who've been up there and entertained. And there's people who just haven't had a clue, isn't there, of what they were going to do, and they've been up and done absolutely nothing. And just to have to have a facility, an opportunity like that to do that, is an amazing chance. It's an amazing project, it really is. And it's also quite special to be here on the second to last day, so that's quite good.
Fantastic, thank you very much.
Thank you.